There is one such sin that in every religion, every deen or way of life, in every, you could say, sect, in every environment and society, this is considered as a sin. And not on a minor scale, but on a major scale, and it is considered as a major sin. For this reason, every society, every culture, every deen, in every sect, in every grouping, there is a punishment that is set aside for this sin. So now, when this is the situation that everyone in the world and every deen and way of life and religion and sector of society says this, then in Islam, what will be the maqam for this sin? What will be the level of this sin? Most definitely, Islam is an honest, truthful and true deen. So there is no way that this sin can be committed. So it will obviously be considered as a very high grade sin and a bad sin, because Islam differentiates correctly, and that sin is lying. And you could call this exaggeration or other words that are used, but lying, simple plain word, lying. How bad a sin this is, how big a sin this is, and this is not forgiven anywhere, in any society, in any religion. So in the deen of Islam, this must be, and it is a big sin, such a big sin, lying, false statement. We can take the example here that lying, what is the word in opposition to lying? In opposition to lying, the extreme opposite. For example, in opposition to night, the day we utilize is day. Yeah? And darkness, the opposite of darkness is light. And the opposite of black is white. Yeah, these are two opposite things, aren't they? So now we have to see that lying, what is the opposition of lying? So we can understand the extent of this sin. What is this state, this condition, a sin of lying? Remember this point as we go along, that the thing that goes in opposition to something, from that you can determine the importance, the extremity of that sin or that bad action. Or if it's a good thing, you'll understand the extremity of that good sin. So the opposition, the total opposite of lying is haq, truth, sidq, haq, truth, correctness. So how big a sin this is, lying. Major sin. And how big a great and a good condition is haq, because Allah Ta'ala utilizes the same name for himself, haq, truth. So think how great it is. And then Nabi al-Barhaq, this word, who was this used for? Imamul Anbiya, Khatumul Nabiyyin, the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and after that the great jama'ah, the group, who was that? The Sahaba Ikram, the blessed noble companions radiyallahu anhum. And the Sahaba Ikram, who were the best of creation after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who is the best? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Not just Siddiq, all the Sahaba were Siddiq. They were all Siddiq, Hazrat Umar and all the other Sahaba. But this is Siddiq-i-Akbar, who was the greatest Siddiq. So don't think he was just Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. All of the Sahaba was Siddiq, but he was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Siddiq-i-Akbar. So haq, truth, honesty, correctness, is in opposition to lying. Lying. And now let's listen to another principle. This is something to think about. That what are we, where are we, what is our hal, what will be our hal, our condition. Think about it, the people of Iman especially. That how big and important situation this is, the opposites of haq and falsehood. So the opposite of truth and haq is falsehood, lying. And haq is Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of the sahaba. And the deen that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought is deen bar haq. So this deen, the way of life, is haq and truth and correct. And these are all in opposition to lying. So on one scale, one side is lying and falsehood, and the other scale is the deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah SAW, the sahaba. So let's take another example here. Here are the lights. There's light. And if we blow the lights out or switch the lights off, then we'll say, why isn't there any light? We can only get one thing, either light or darkness. If you want darkness, switch the light off, darkness will come. If you want light, what do? Switch the light on and the light will come. This is it, isn't it? You can only get one, you can't get both. Think about it. So do you want falsehood or do you want truth? You'll only get one. You'll only get one. When a person lies and states falsehood, the haq goes, truth goes, prophethood, the companions, and the deen, the guidance of all of this goes, and this is the punishment of the liar. What a big sin, imagine. Because there's only one way. When a person's lying, everything's going out of the window. They're not next to him. Allah, his Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the deen, Islam, the sahaba. When he speaks the truth, there'll be no lying. There'll be sadaq, there'll be honesty, there'll be blessings. So there can only be one state, one condition. You can't mix the two, contaminate the two. And this is how big a sin it is. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a tribe came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O merciful Prophet, that we want to come into Islam, we have a desire, a passion, the whole tribe. And the head of the tribe was speaking, and the merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was listening. They said, but the difficulty for us is this, that we have an issue, an obstacle that is preventing us from entering into Islam. And it is stopping us to come onto the right path, the straight path. It's not allowing us to come onto the straight path. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is it that is stopping you from coming into Islam? They said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we commit sins. And one day we commit, we drink alcohol, we get drunk, we commit adultery, we steal, we do banditry, we lie, we do all these sins. And we can't leave these sins. And we ask and seek forgiveness that we are liars. So what should we do? How can we come into Islam? There's so many sins, we can't leave them and we want to come into Islam. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the mercy to the mankind, and said, is this the case? Okay, whatever I say, I'm not saying to you leave the sins. Can you leave one sin? They said, okay, we'll try to leave one sin. One sin, maybe there's a possibility we can shun that sin. So they asked, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you speak about one sin? Okay. So Rasulullah said, you promise to me one sin that you will disregard it, you will shun it, you will leave. They said, what is that sin? Rasulullah said, make me a promise that you will never lie. That you will never lie. They said, oh, we make that promise to you, inshallah. We will not lie, we promise to you. Rasulullah said, fine, now come. And then Rasulullah told them to repeat the kalima, the statement of shahada, belief. Then they stayed in the company of Rasulullah. He taught them, gave them education, explained Islam, and then they went back to the tribe. Allahu Akbar. And they went back, and due to leaving the act of lying, all of these sins, they started to leave the other sins. They said, we drink, and somebody will ask us, are you drinking? What kind of Muslim are you? I can't lie, so better I leave the drink. Or if I steal, when I steal, someone will say, what kind of Islam have you come into? You used to praise Islam and this is a good deen, this is an honest deen, we'll have to leave stealing, I can't lie. So we'll have to leave that sin. So one by one, the whole tribe left all of the sins and was purified. So the root cause of sins is lying. All of the sins, the root cause is lying. And we, with the fadl of Allah, has given us tawfiq. We don't do anything else. Morning, He gives us the tawfiq to pray. He gives us the tawfiq to pray tahajjud, to do dhikr, recite Quran, to follow the sunnah. All of these great actions, wonderful actions, Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity and capability to do. We go on hajj, on umrah. So what is this? Why do we lie? How do we lie? Why do we lie? What a big sin. At that time when we are lying, and the lying, the state of lying, such lies emanate from our mouths that we don't even know we're lying. For example, are you going to come in the evening? Yes, I'll meet you in the evening. And after that we forget, we're not even going to meet that person. Yani, such a person lies openly, blatantly in society. We lie that we cannot even imagine. We have no feeling, we have no consideration, no appreciation. Look, when a person, as I was saying, that insan, the human being, will only do good deeds when, as I said previously, there will be a value and appreciation and the greatness and the loftiness of that practice. Look, people have come from far and sat down here. Quite a few people have come from far in a field. and there are a few people from this locality, vicinity, but more people have come from afar. They've come and they've sat down. Why have they come here? Why? Are there any sweets here? Laddu, barfi, gajar halwa, eating, food, drinking, and there are mosques near the homes of all these people. They can praise Allah. Why did they come here? Because the dhikr of Allah, the greatness of the dhikr of Allah is in their hearts. It's in their hearts. So much is present that they left home, sat in the car, they left, disregarded other activities, they left all the other masjids in their localities. And with this niyyah, with this intention that we'll do the dhikr of Allah, just like the people of the masjid, they've changed their eating time. Many people eat after Maghrib, and people have disregarded that or changed their schedules. And due to this amal, the greatness, the appreciation of dhikr is in the hearts of everyone. I've given the example. You sit down to recite Quran. And you have the greatness of Quran, you stand to pray Salah, you have the greatness of Salah in your heart. So the more you sacrifice, and the more you give up your time for good things, that means you have the feeling and the regard for the great things and the good actions in your heart. So lying, when a person lies or sins, whenever a person sins, when he commits the sin, e.g. lying, or for example, when you do a good deed, you have the value and appreciation of the good deed in the heart. And when we do a bad deed, a sin, then we consider the good deed as very small. We have no appreciation of the good deed that time. And look behind, just like Allah Ta'ala, He gives us the assistance to do good deeds. We know there are so many rewards for doing good deeds. Allah Ta'ala has given great, great rewards for dhikr, for attending a majlis of dhikr, to go to good gatherings and to do dhikr, to recite dhikr. The ahadith, the verses of Quran, the sayings of Rasulullah ﷺ. The Quran is full up with verses and hadith. And Sahaba, they sat and remembered Allah, and they were pious people, morning and evening, all day, all night, remembered Allah. They had importance. Isn't this the case? So many things that drag us. So in the same way, what is it that makes us leave sin or makes us implement sin? Azab. The consequence of sin is azab. Jahannam. Hellfire. Punishment. Allah's displeasure. Bad luck. Punishment in the grave. And wretchedness. And curses. And no blessings in the world. And all of this is due to the action of lying. Or sinning. But all, as I said, everything, as I mentioned, sins. But lying leaves all the other sins behind. Truthfulness goes, honesty goes, Allah Ta'ala's deen, Allah's Rasul and the Sahaba goes. Is this a small punishment? Tell me. Is this a small loss? A liar, when he dies, may Allah forgive him, na'udhu billah. When a liar dies, what will be his situation at that time? Tell me. What will happen? Will it be that he did a small sin? He will lie. And we'll get the punishment that's written. It says in the Quran, in the Ahadith, that this will be the situation of the liar. And Rasulullah saw on the Mi'raj, on the ascension, the situation. And he said, it's not just me saying or that I've been given the message. Rather, I've seen from my eyes, Allah Ta'ala has shown me that the person who did this sin, he was given this punishment. Rasulullah saw with his own blessed eyes the punishments of the sins during the Mi'raj, the ascension to the heavens. Then why do we still commit the sins? Why do we still commit the sins? Think, there's a reason for this. And the reason is that when this world was made, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was created, and all the angels and jinnat were ordered to prostrate to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and everyone prostrated except who? Iblis. Iblis. And Iblis, he said, no, I'm not going to prostrate. Like we read in the Quran, the verses have been revealed, and we know the event and the story. So the culmination of all of this was what? They said, I'm not going to prostrate to Adam. Allah said, if you're not going to prostrate, then out you go. Expelled. And he was set aside. And he said, but one request please. Allah. He said, Allah, one request I would like to put forward. And Allah said, yes. He said that, just give me some free time. A period of time until Qiyamah. The day of judgment, he requested this, subhanAllah. Shaitan had yaqeen that if I ask from Allah, Allah will give to me. Imagine you will have heard from the pious predecessors, the shaitan who is being punished, who will be punished forever, even he has yaqeen that Allah is in his jalal at the moment. But when I ask, Allah will not reject what I'm asking. And we don't even have yaqeen that if we ask from Allah, we will obtain. Shaitan had yaqeen, even though he was expelled. That's why the pious predecessors say he was an arif. He knew everything, he had yaqeen that this situation, that let me get lucky now, because I am aware of Allah Ta'ala's sifat. Doesn't matter how displeased he is and angry, but when his creation turns back to him and asks, Allah gives. So we should ask, brothers, don't fear how many things Allah Ta'ala gives due to asking. So Allah Ta'ala says, okay, I'll give you the time. What will you do in this time, the allotted time you're requesting? وَزَيِّنَ لَهُمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمْ He said, Allah, I will carry out one duty, well, I will tell you now, seek your permission. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, but inshallah, I will carry on doing this task, and I won't stop. And I know this will be mentioned in the Quran. And what is that action? He said, I want to carry out one task, one duty, that the sins, I will make them look good and enjoyable and present them to your creation. That's it. That's it. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do. That's my pastime, my hobby. I'm going to coat all the sins with the sugar. Not that they look horrible and ugly. The sins will look attractive and enjoyable and nice feeling that we won't feel like leaving them. And the shaitan will present sins to us as small in magnitude. There's no jahannam, no hellfire. He'll say, no problem. It's fine. You've got plenty of time. Today, we should imagine, just imagine that the person who is even so-called good, when he commits a sin, he says, no, it's okay, everyone does this sin. He prays the hajjud in the night, he does tasbih. And he knows that this is a sin. That you are bay'ah by your hands with a sheikh, and your sheikh is telling you. And the principle between a sheikh and a murid is when the sheikh tells you to refrain from something, you should leave that action. That's the contract, the pact, the agreement. That when he guides you to the path and tells you to leave wrong actions, bad actions, sins, we should do that. So, today there are a lot of complaints of sheikhs to their murids. They're amazed. The people come and do tawbah. They repent and they promise, we're going to leave this sin. We're not going to commit these sins. We're not going to do these actions. And after doing tawbah, they say, oh, this ain't no sin. It's okay, I can do this sin. They even forget that our sheikh told us to refrain from this sin. Don't do this action. Don't go on this path. That your parents shouldn't be like this. And men and women, same, both. They do the same thing. They know that this is a sin. Yeah, you call this a sin? No, that's not a sin. I didn't know this was a sin. What is the reason for this? Shaitan promised to Allah that I will make the sins look nice. I will suppress them, make them minuscule in their magnitude and make them look insignificant. So this is the reason why insan, human being, so fast and with speed, he goes towards the sin. Allah Ta'ala gave an answer. Okay, fine, you'll do that. But illa Allah Ta'ala said that I will also tell you the situation now. Remember this shaitan, that there will be a jama'ah, a group of people, always there will be the mukhlisin, Allah Ta'ala praise them, define them. That you will attack people with your attractions and sins, but there will be a jama'ah, a group of people always in the mankind, that you will not be able to prevail over them, or attract them, or influence them, you will not be able to get close to them. So a beautiful point comes out here, my friends, that now is the question with regards to our hereafter. I'm not giving a lecture, a speech, a talk. Let's all think, let's just put everything I've said to one side and look at the result. That we do dhikr, ibadat, we worship. Let me look inside myself. How much do I lie? How much do I lie? How much do we lie? And I don't even remember if I correct this today, that how many times I've lied from my tongue, how they have emanated from my tongue, from my mouth, and upon what? And we would have tried to turn the lie into honesty. One is the punishment of sin, and one is not accepting that sin as a sin. There's two sins, two punishments. When we sign things with our hands on many things, don't take it badly. That's also lying. That's a big sin. Big sin. The sin when a person lies from their mouth. We ourselves are signing with our hands. When we sign a piece of paper, no, I'm not this, this is not mine. Give me this much, and this is my position, I'm in this position. And what do we get? What is shaitan giving us? Just a few morsels, bit of money, and a bit of dunya. And where are we taking it? Into Jahannam, into the fire of hell. By lying. So what am I trying to say? That not the shaitan has said this, that I will show them on a small scale, and the sin in our eyes is small, and we'll stand in front of Allah tomorrow. Allah, we were forced to do it because you gave shaitan permission, and he tricked us and deceived us, and he said, I will make the sins look small. He made them minuscule in their stature and small scale, and we didn't understand they were sins, and we kept on doing it. It's not our fault. Allah said, did you not read the verse of the Quran? That did I not say, O shaitan, that there will always be a group of people who will do the right thing, the mukhlisin. There will be such a group of people, those people who shaitan will not influence them. He will not be able to advise them. Shaitan will not be able to reach to them. So how strong is this point that we get a big learning, a big lesson, a big path, a big destination with the fadl of Allah? Then what do we need to do? The shaitan, whatever he does, then we have to do something else. That we need to include ourselves, join and become members of that jama'ah, the mukhlisin. The special elect group of people who are close to Allah, that shaitan cannot attack them. That's it. And what is a mukhlisin? What is the special pure definition of the mukhlisin? What is the definition? Allah Ta'ala has opened the path, the way. that become a human being like this, take hold of this path, the right path, the shaitan cannot influence the mukhlisin, then he won't be able to attack them. He can't get close to them. As a Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh. Or there was a pious sheikh in the same situation. He was walking around in Baghdad and shaitan was naked. You will have read this event, Fazail Amal. I think this event is in Fazail Amal. He's walking around naked, shaitan. And he said, oh, immodest person, aren't you ashamed that women here, other people here, and you're walking around naked? And you're walking around in the streets? He said, which insan? Which people? Which women? He said, Sufi said, where are the people that you're talking about? These humans, these are all shaitan. These aren't people. They don't know that I'm naked. They're all shaitan themselves. If you want to see insan, he's saying himself shaitan. He's defining himself. If you want to see a human being, a man, then go to this masjid in this locality. There's a jamaat, a congregation that's doing dhikr of Allah. And due to the dhikr, with the barakah of the dhikr, they have made me melt like the butter. They have made me dissolve like salt in water, and they've made me naked. And who were those people? The dhakirin, as mentioned in the Quran, the mukhlisin, the truthful, honest people. The shaitan could not get close to them. Not even close to them. Another hadith I'll tell you. Subhanallah. Hadith. That at that time, Allahu Akbar, shaitan, when he attacks, for example, there's another example, like an enemy, when he attacks somebody, he tries to grab the other person, and the person who's trying to save himself from the enemy is attacked from getting injured. And the weak person, he's running, and the person who's attacking him, running after him, maybe with a weapon, and he runs and he finds a friend. Then he sees suddenly a fort, a castle, he jumps into the castle, shuts, slams the door, and the enemy's outside, he can't get in. He said, ah, he's saved today. He's got away today, otherwise I wasn't going to let him off. Look at the example Rasulullah has given, that the person is in the same situation as the person who's running away from the attacker. That when shaitan's attacking you, you start dhikr of Allah. It's just like that person who locked himself in the fort, and shaitan will not be able to attack you. And this is the mukhlisin people. So we don't have to, we don't want to work hard here, we don't want to work hard there. We say we want to walk into paradise. We are ashiqi Rasul, we are lovers of Rasulullah, we have tawheed, and we do good deeds, but we are lying and sinning. Only that person will be saved from the sins and from shaitan. That man and woman will be saved who have ikhlas, sincerity, love, the right niyyah. That shaitan, I'm going to oppose shaitan, I want to save myself. And the people who are immersed and busy with the dhikr of Allah, they will be saved. Who, those who bring dhikr into their life, make it a pattern of their life, remember this. So dhikr of Allah is not an action that is just for one thing to get reward. No, dhikr of Allah is protection for us, for society. Inshallah, you will see the difference. The person who does dhikr with the right intention, with the right method and the right habitual practice, not the fake people, who person who is truthful, honest, who says, I want to do tawbah, leave the dunya. Hazrat, I want to do tawbah, I want to leave the world, end of story. That's it. In other words, I don't want the love of the world in my heart. Whatever you advise, I want to follow the principles of the deen, of the Quran, I swear by Allah. The question doesn't arise that that person will not improve to become a better person. I've seen with my eyes millions of rupees they've taken out of the bank and thrown the interest money, and the people of the world are saying, what are you doing? They've shut the bank accounts. They said, we've done tawbah. That's it. And this is fire for me. I don't need this unlawful, these funds. They say, you're mad. Are you crazy? Millions and millions of rupees, you're giving it back to the bank. Why? Where are you going to put the money? Where should we throw it? I'm telling you the truth. In my life, I've seen such people. And when people like this come into the deen, then shaitan, what is shaitan? Nothing for them. The angels surround that person. And the boxes, the empty boxes, people are empty, a fake, no deen. No, I've got to have this money. I try to leave the sins. Oh no, is this a sin? Is it a sin? You think it's a sin? It's okay. You call this haram? You say this is a sin? No, that's not a sin. Will I get punished for this? So these are the solid customers and clients of shaitan who doubt, who don't have any conviction in deen, in Allah Ta'ala's principles. And they do ibadah and then he throws the urine and stool back in their face. They do ibadah and then he steals and loots from them. He makes them worship and he destroys them. He makes the appearance of deen and he loots from them. Steals from them. Only that person can be saved. Allah Ta'ala has given the tariqah, the methodology. That we do dhikr and the mashayikh akram, the walis of Allah, when they arrange the gatherings, the majlis, the people who speak and talk and do nothing else, they'll carry on. But the person who has understanding says the hukum of the Quran, this is such a tabligh that's been given to the human beings that today, apart from this, we have no other protection. There is no other protection. To be safe from shaitan, we have no other method or protection. Shaitan attacks in such a massive way, such doors he opens up, such situations he creates and circumstances he has created, that the question doesn't arise we can be saved. The question doesn't arise that we can be saved from the attack of shaitan. We do ibadah, worship, I've seen people. Do you think Hajj is a small action? Tell me. Hajj, is this a small worship action? Is Umrah a small action? I swear by Allah that you will see even now that Arafat, people are free from Arafat, they go back to Mina and they're doing their ibadah, and then the line is there in Mina, and with happiness, and they are destroying their appearance, their faces. They are changing the appearance and the figure of the faces, and shaitan is laughing. Wah! That you are slapping me in Mina, and you're throwing the slippers and your stones in Mina, and with your own hands you are destroying your appearances, making scenes and pictures, and laughing and smiling. And this is Arafat and Mina. I've seen it with my eyes, you will have seen it with your eyes. Here, shaitan, we throw the stones, and after a few yards and meters we walk away, we start sinning. And when we reach there, then after that the environment gets even worse than that. Even worse than that. The environment gets spoilt. So this is the day and age we're living in, the generation we're living in. We are close to Qiyamah. If we don't protect ourselves, then we will fall into the trap, this and that, and sects and groups, and then we will get destroyed. Think, understand that if somebody is calling you to Quran and Hadith, and he's giving you da'wah, invitation, and it's not his personal invitation, he's inviting you to Allah Ta'ala's deen, Allah Ta'ala's love, lillah, for the sake of Allah, he's standing and he wants that the ummah, the nation of the Muslims, that they are saved from the fire of Jahannam, every woman, every man, every woman, save themselves from Jahannam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you are running into the fire just like the moths run after the light, and I'm grabbing you and dragging you and pulling you back out of the fire. And this is the situation today. This is the situation today. The way people hear, women, men, dhikr. Even then they say, no, we have to commit the sins. They say, oh, is this a sin? Is this action a sin? No, I don't think it's a sin. It should be okay. It will be forgiven. With the same appearance and figure, we go into society and sit and commit the sins. It's a game. We're playing game with Allah Ta'ala's deen. Allah's rahmah and mercy can save us only from the adab. Only this can save us from adab. And this is not enough, is it? So that money that's in our banks, and we think we're lucky, we're fortunate, we're rich. Think about the time that is going to come, my friends, if you want to be saved. And we definitely want to prepare for the hereafter. Then first and foremost, what do we need to do? The Dushmani Azeem, our extreme and promised enemy, Shaitan, we have to protect ourselves from him. And what is that? Do dhikr of Allah. Wala dhikr Allahi Akbar. That's it. Tell me which masjid, which member. Is there in any masjid from Makkah to Medina, across to Baytul Maqdis, to Bolton, across the world? Look in every masjid. When the khutbah ends, khutbah, the sermon, is a great, great statement. It's a message to the ummah, the nation. The khutbah, there's no khutbah after every salah. Where is the khutbah? Jummah, Friday, the important holy day of the week, and on Eidain, when the masses are gathered and a special message emanates, and the final message conclusion, wala dhikr Allahi akbar, ala ula afdal, great. Does Mawlana Sahib not recite this? And are our ears blocked at that time? What is Allah praising then? What is Allah Ta'ala mentioning then? Elevating then the Quran, Surah, Jummah. That as soon as you are free from Jummah Salah, what should you do? Allah Ta'ala says, this is Surah Jummah. That when you are free from Salah, Salatul Jummah, then don't try to run away. Oh, I've read Jummah, let's run away now. Allah says, no, do my dhikr. Yes, 30, 40 years I saw my Shaykh, that no Jummah did I see my Shaykh, that after Jummah there wasn't dhikr of Allah. SubhanAllah, this was the SubhanAllah practice of my Shaykh. The Quran is telling us this, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, few minutes, 10 minutes. As I said, the Quran is telling us this. And then after that, what is the next verse? That we are the people of the dunya. Then what does the Quran say after that? That you are doing dhikr of Allah when you emanate, when you leave the masjid, when you leave them, what you earn, the fadl of Allah will come into that. The fadl, seek from the bounty of Allah. This is it, isn't it? That what you are running for, you're not doing dhikr, what will it become for you? Allah says, when you do that without dhikr, then that will become shaitan. That will become a test for you. Allah Ta'ala says, all of the rizq that you earn, it will become a test for you. But if you do dhikr of Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allah says, وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, after the salah. Yes, after the salah. فَإِذَا قُضِيَ صَلَاةً فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ. Do dhikr, that is the high grade practice of the Jummah, do dhikr first, then when you go to the dunya, you'll get the high grade bounty and rewards from Allah. Do dhikr of Allah, teach your heart to do dhikr of Allah, your heart will say automatically, Allah, 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 like a machine. Here, to this masjid, Sheikh will have come in, Naqshbandi Sheikh, I'm just a normal person, I'm not a Sheikh, I'm the murid, the student of the students, although I'm the dust on the feet of the students, but if I have got the permission, I can teach, so don't delay, don't wait. Such people come, they explain to you, they leave and they go, and we're just sitting there empty handed. What is wrong with learning the Kruvala? What are you going to lose? What is the difference going to be made to your life? It's going to improve your life. The quality of life will increase and make your heart alive with dhikr of Allah. And I've said to you, the greatest protection for us, that shaitan, if we don't protect ourselves from shaitan, we'll carry on lying and depart from this world. And the person who lies, he's not with haq, with Allah, with risalat. May Allah Ta'ala save us from this biggest of sins. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.